The DSM-5, a veritable smorgasbord of diagnoses. When DSM-5 was published in May 2013, it included some 300 disorders in its 945 pages. It offers a veritable smorgasbord of possible labels for the problems associated with severe early life trauma, including some new ones such as disruptive mood regulation disorder, non-suicidal self-injury, intermittent explosive disorder, dysregulated social engagement disorder, and disruptive impulse control disorder. Before the late 19th century, doctors classified illnesses according to their surface manifestations, like fevers and pustules, which was not unreasonable given that they had little else to go on. This changed when scientists like Louis Pasteur and Robert Koch discovered that many diseases were caused by bacteria that were invisible to the naked eye. Medicine then was transformed by its attempts to discover ways to get rid of those organisms rather than just treating the boils and the fevers that they caused. With DSM-5, psychiatry firmly regressed to early 19th century medical practice. Despite the fact that we know the origin of many of the problems it identifies, its diagnoses describe surface phenomena that completely ignore the underlying causes. Even before DSM-5 was released, the American Journal of Psychiatry published the results of validity tests of various new diagnoses, which indicated that the DSM largely lacks what in the world of science is known as reliability, that is, the ability to produce consistent, replicable results. In other words, it lacks scientific validity. Oddly, the lack of reliability and validity did not keep the DSM-5 from meeting its deadline for publication, despite the near-universal consensus that it represented no improvement over the previous diagnostic system. Could the fact that the APA had earned $100 million on the DSM-4 and is slated to take in a similar amount with the DSM-5, because all mental health practitioners, many lawyers, and other professionals will be obliged to purchase the latest edition, be the reason we have this new diagnostic system? Diagnostic reliability isn't an abstract issue. If doctors can't agree on what ails their patients, there is no way they can provide proper treatment. When there's no relationship between diagnosis and cure, a mislabeled patient is bound to be a mistreated patient. You would not want to have your appendix removed when you are suffering from a kidney stone. And you would not want to have somebody labeled as oppositional when in fact his behavior is rooted in an attempt to protect himself against real danger,